because my mind was perverted from abuse. Yeah. How you can tell somebody's traumatized, you know, is when they start asking questions that they shouldn't even be knowing.
Do you think that he was suicidal because some of his family was suicidal, or is there any suicide in the family at all?
Once he has your emotions, he got you, baby. Dang. Because that means you can't think about anything else than the trouble that you're going through right now. That means you won't look to God because you're so focused on this, and that you can't see God moving for you, so you're going to curse God.
This is like 11 out of 12 disciples got murdered for their faith.
Oh, they did.
And like, they consider that blessed. So the way the Bible talks about being blessed is different than what some of the preachers are talking about.
Amen.
Hey, we motivating the nation, gonna set the foundation, spreading positive knowledge, the crucial conversation. This goes farther than just feeding you motivation. As I let you in the basis of my operation, with such intensity, I say what I mean. The world is going crazy, man, I think it's time to intervene. Planting nuggets of wisdom till the cup overflows. Dive deep into the war room that I built below. Out the Golden State, baby, yeah, I'm shining like a pro. I'll rise for the wheel, ride, drink and show. Let's go.
Here we go. It's Friday, okay? It's Friday. We're recording on a Friday. Here we go. Here's a conversation with Will Rodriguez. Today, we have a very, very special guest. For people that don't know, this is our second time recording, but they don't know that.
They don't even worry about that.
I messed up on the angle. It was all jacked up. But we're back, right? Podcast number 3. And today, I have a very special guest, Deja. Thank you so much for coming on the show or coming back. Yeah. So
she's been here before. Hey,
yeah.
Always available.
She's about that life though. So before we dive into her story, be sure to like, subscribe, share, notification bell, follow on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest. No, we're not in Pinterest. Let's get into this. Deja, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, of course. No problem. I actually love I love these conversations that we have. It like just blows up into something different.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely love your personality you added to it. You know, great feedback. Definitely go on ahead, subscribe. You won't.
Hey.
It's not going to be, you know, a mistake, I promise. It's going to be tuning in every week.
She's selling the dream already.
You're tuning in every week. Mm-hmm. This is what it is. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
Well, with that being said, let's get started. Deja, who are you? Tell us about your story.
Well, first of all, I am a woman of God. I'm a Christian 1,000%. Just because I'm wearing a little scarfy poo, don't mean I'm Muslim. I'm going to be honest. I get mistaken for that all the time.
No way. Okay.
So I am 100,000,000,000 infinity percent Christian.
Well, I thought they covered like their whole face. Hmm? Like Muslim? Like-
some do, but some don't. So like, when they see like the head wrap, I get that a lot. Especially from, you know, specific groups, you know, they're like, they don't get it, they don't get the difference, you know. So they're just like, oh, you're Muslim. I'm like, no, I'm Christian. So I'm gonna say that right off rip, because then it's gonna make sense.
Okay, yeah,
then it's gonna make some sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, thank you for that.
Yeah, you gotta be honest.
If you didn't know, now you know.
Yes, God is everything to me, and I love him with my heart and soul, my body, my mind, everything. I love God. So,
by God, what do you mean, God? Like, just the universe is, what do you
God
mean?
God is
that?
Beyond the universe. God created the heaven and the earth, bro. Okay. He created everything in the stars.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't give us insight into how he created the universe or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But when Genesis first starts, he lets us know the earth already was here. It was covered in water, and his spirit flew over it. And then he started creating the stars and the light. So, like, he already did all that. He's Earth was just sitting.
For people to get clarification, God of the Bible.
Oh, God and of the world.
I'm just saying, because there's people out there that say God is Mother God, universe, like all
there's
kinds of stuff.
There's only one God, we were honest.
But boom, there you go. Straight into, okay, let's go. Let's go there. Okay.
There's only one God. We keep it real 100%. No disregard or hate to anybody else, but there really just is one God. And he's the God of everything. He's the creator of you and I. Like, he's the creator of everything on earth, and even outside of earth he created. So there's only one God. You know, so like, when they ask me what God, like, I can always say that there is one, and it's God of the Bible. Like you said, it's God of the world, of, you know, outside of everything, even outside of this. So God is just,
I just hear a lot of people say, God is energy. It's Mother God. There are all kinds of stuff. So again, just wanted to clarify that because
I do understand
some viewers, they're just, they have different set of opinions. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but it's all good. We welcome them. We welcome those conversations.
Awesome. I will speak truth till the day I die.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about you, your story.
We did get off topic. I don't know how we did
just
that.
Just a little
like,
bit.
Already.
All the time. It happens.
Sorry, y'all. But, So, where do you want to start? Because about me.
Where were you born? Yeah, where were you born? Yeah.
Okay. I believe I was born close to Greensburg, maybe Brownsville, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Could be a little bit wrong. I'm not too sure about my origins over there, but mm-hmm. I know I was born in that vicinity. Honestly, the first half of my life, like as a baby till I lived with my grandparents, with whom I call my parents because they raised me, they clothed me, they fed me, mm-hmm. nourished me, took care of me. So they're my parents. But biologically, they're my grandparents. So the first half of my life kind of sucked. I don't really remember. I only remember like small bits here or there, but it was definitely full of abuse, abandonment, stories that my mom would tell me. Because when I would tell her like a memory that I had, she'll be like, oh, it's probably because of XYZ. She was transparent with me, which I enjoy. Like, I'm very grateful for. So I won't be confused in life. Like, did this happen? Or like, am I bugging? Or like, whatever. But
was she like that, like, from the very beginning? Do you remember, like, how old you were?
My mom was transparent. If you have a question, she's going to answer it.
Like, when did you start asking questions? And what type of questions?
Well, my mom died in 2009. So I would have to have been anywhere between... I probably wasn't speaking at one. I don't know, but probably anywhere between like 5 and 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're already asking questions.
All kinds of questions. Because my mind was perverted from early the abuse. On. Yeah.
Got it.
You know, that's how you can tell somebody's traumatized, you know, is when they start asking questions that they shouldn't even be knowing. Or if your child has like an early sex drive. That's also something you have to kind of consider. Like, where did this come from?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Is you good, bro? Because let's be real. You know, they get exposed to stuff in public school or things happen to them that you might not know about as parents. So.
That's a good nugget right there for a lot of parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Wow.
Yeah, just from my own experience. Yeah. That's just what it is.
So you were asking sensitive questions.
A lot.
And she would just tell you the answer.
Yeah, she'll be like, This happened to you. I know these things, or I'm aware of certain things. She wasn't involved in all that.
Yeah.
So she knows certain things, and she could tell me from what I'm just saying, what that looks like. Because she knows her son. So, I mean, the first half of my life kind of sucked.
The way you said it. Hilarious.
I can't laugh about it.
You have to.
I'm completely over it. I forgave the man, which is a whole different journey later on. You know, it's especially when you're considering forgiving somebody like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, you know, it's for some, it could be unimaginable and unfathomable, and you're not going to do it. I advise against that because it's not only to forgive them, but forgiveness is mainly for you to let it go. Then you can leave it in the past and you don't have to consistently be stuck in the moment of what happened. It's like letting it go and then you can be fresh, you know, so.
Is that what happens when there's like trauma or abuse that people tend to hold on to things?
For some people, yes. Mm-hmm. For some people, probably not. I teetered into the probably not because the second half of my life was better. It wasn't like lollipops and gummy bears, you know, peaches and cream, but it was way better than what it was with the abuser. But that just because I wasn't living with him anymore doesn't mean that he didn't come around and still do that abusive nature in a different way. So he was my mom's son, so she loved him dearly. He actually was an abusive person before me. Like, he had so many baby mamas. He even beat up my mother. She had a scar on her lip from him busting her lip open with a bottle, I believe.
Yeah.
So, horrible. Yeah, so he was a very abusive dude. So, like, which doesn't make sense because my mom is not abusive like that. Like, my mom is actually, like, so, she was so, like, godly. Like, you know, like, she was so, she was introverted and extroverted, and she was on fire for the Lord. She was on fire for the community. Like, people of all types, like young ages, like older ages, would come to her. She was like the mom of the community. She would tell people about God and lead them and like nourish them and tell them like, hey, like, I understand what you're going through. Cause my mom went through a lot too. She told me a little bit about her story as I told her mine. And so I really like got to connect with her, and gosh, I freaking love that woman to this day. Like, I would not be here who I am if God didn't bless me with her. Like, for real. Like, she was everything to me. Like, my mom, I love her so much to this day.
That's
awesome. Very much a blessing. Yeah, so I don't know if anybody has that type of relationship, but if you have at least one person in your corner, that's all you need, honestly. Like, you've got God and you got the one human being that he blesses you with. And she was most definitely a blessing to me.
If you could resonate with that, hit like, right? Share with somebody too that might benefit from this information.
Oh, absolutely.
We're just getting started, ladies and gentlemen. We're just getting started. Woo! Okay.
It's a heavy in the first, what, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Sorry, y'all. It's what it is.
Doing a little break, so I just pause it, go and maybe drink some water, some tea, and then come back.
Get some popcorn, bro.
Get some popcorn. Oh, man. So that was the first part, I would say, right?
Honestly, the first part, like, anywhere between like 1 to 5. And he kept coming in and out of my life. And my mom loved him, so she allowed him to stay as long as we were in the house. But he was even abusive there. So, not like physically or anything, except for that one time. He pushed me down. Like, this is going to be really nasty. So, if you guys have like a weak stomach, I advise you to skip over this part. But he pushed me down so hard, I threw up like doo-doo.
What? How's that possible?
I didn't know it was possible until my mom's like, is that doo-doo? I'm like, I gotta be. Like, I don't.
Wow. I was that's a little crazy. Kid. I didn't know that was possible.
I was still in my single digits. So I was a very young kid. So he threw me down that hard where I was like my body, like my intestine. I don't understand either. But like, like that happened. But so.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
Like, so if you have a weak stomach, like I'd advise you to skip over that. If you chose to stay, that's your fault. Okay. Like, don't be hating on his channel.
Don't be hating. All right. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So but yeah. And then my biological mother would come in and out like later in my life. Mm-hmm. Like I would say 7 to 8 or 7. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 7 to 8. She came in and out. Didn't like her, honestly. Yeah. And I didn't want to get to know her, but I got to know her because my mom wanted me to get to know her. And I understood why, because I knew a little bit about my mom's life.
Yeah.
She had a stillborn child. Like, she was going to name it Giovanni or something like that. She had a great name for her. Mm-hmm. And my mom went through so much stuff. So she had sympathy for my biological mother, of her wanting to get to know me, but being nervous to do that. Mm. And so I could sympathize with my mom for my biological mother. And that's the only reason why I allowed her in my life during that time. And it was weird because as an adult, I realized I had PTSD, but I didn't know I had PTSD when I was a kid. So like, I went over my biological mother's house. She had her two kids. Like, Dominic, I think we shared the same dad. And then her daughter, I don't remember her name. I think we only shared the same mother, different father. But we were up in her room. She had, like, a playhouse and things. And she started, like, she pinned me down and started, like, tickling me, like, as a kid would. You know, it was a kid thing. But in my mind, I'm like, LOL, I'm being freaking attacked. Like,
Dang, that's
so
crazy.
Like, I was like mentally like screaming for help, but I didn't say it out loud. And I was like pretending like, oh, ha, 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 ha. The way that my body just felt like I was being attacked, it was so uncomfortable. And I knew she was coming from a good place. So I didn't hate her for it. Yeah. But I also was like, dude, I feel like I can throw up right now. Like, I feel like I'm being, like, physically, like, sexually attacked. But she wasn't doing that to me,
that's
though.
That's crazy. Like, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, she wasn't. So, like, I didn't realize I had PTSD for quite some time. Even, like, even now, like, as an adult, like, we can get into that later. But, golly, like, meh. You know, so, like, just be aware of that, you know, and don't try to swallow it just because you know somebody's not coming from the right place or like from the place you think that they're coming from. Like, just like disengage yourself. You're like, hey, I don't like that. I like, it's not that. Don't to be rude, but just like, hey, it's not that. Well, like, kind of skedaddle, whatever.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, because it sucks. You know?
That's interesting you say that because, you know, when it comes down to setting expectations, I try to do that with people, whether that's like, you know, with our family, wife, with people that I work with, people in business, strangers, right? To a degree. It's all about setting the expectation. Hey, I like this. Hey, don't talk to me that way. And just setting that expectation right away. Because if I'm feeling uncomfortable or a certain way, I push it out right away. So what you're telling our audience is if they feel a certain way, make it known.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't be rude, but just make it known.
Because they don't know that they're being like that. Like, not everybody does. You can tell, like, when narcissists are being narcissists or people are doing it on purpose. But there's some people who are just, you know, like, friendly. You know, they're just like, hey, and it's, like, all touchy-feely. Right. And if that, like, triggers you or whatever, like, let them know. Be like, hey, LOL. I don't like this, bro. Like, can you give me some space? Like, breathing room or whatever. Buddy, you don't have to be rude about it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I try to catch myself too because I love talking to people. As you know, I like that talking to everybody. If you're old, young, girl, boy, it doesn't really matter. I talk to the whole world. But I realized that when I used to talk to girls, it was perceived a little bit different. And
you got to explain that.
I used to experience, or I used to have conversations with girls, and then they would think I would be hitting on them. And for me, I'm like, I'm just trying to have a conversation.
Oh, right, being nice.
Because I mean, it's like, I'm friendly. I'm just me. And then from that point, I realized that okay, I gotta be a little more watchful. Then my wife would tell me too, hey, you know, just cut it back a little bit. So at this point, I'm still friendly, but then I have to cut it back just a little bit. I'm like, oh, I want to, nope, just cut it back. Don't say that. Just shut up. You know what I mean? I'm going to be a little more watchful on that.
Yeah. I think it's different cultures too. You have to remember different cultures are different. Like in the Asian culture, like it's very like close. Like they're so close with their family and like depending upon like different hierarchies or whatever, but like a lot of it's like community based. Like they even call like strangers like grandma, like I just see stuff like that. So it's like a bunch of different stuff. So just knowing like different cultures like have different things and like don't overestimate just because you're from a different culture or different background. Like realize that some cultures are just like a little bit more community than America because Americans could be like a little standoffish. Just naturally, you know what I mean?
Well, I feel like Texas is a little more standoffish.
Really?
Californians are very low key, friendly.
Texas is standoffish?
A little more than Californians, at least from my experience. I'm from San Diego. No, I'm here in Dallas, obviously.
Dang. I mean, try going to Pittsburgh. You'd think that they hated you, bro.
No way. Dang. Okay.
That's all I'm saying. The Northeast is like a little bit, it's way more standoffish. Like, I thought people here were just like, yep, friendly.
No way. Here in Dallas?
I feel like people are friendly. Like,
I mean, they are. They're a little more open for sure. But it's a little different than San Diego, I would say. Not in a good or bad way. It's just a little different. Different culture. Which is cool. I like the culture here too.
But we could talk about that all day. But, and then my mom died in 2009. And so, you know, like, so, like, this is going to be very awkward, which is why I started laughing. For me, my mom was the only person, like, in my life that truly loved me for me. Like, she didn't expect anything from me. She just loved me for me. Like, and I wasn't even like her child. Like, you have to realize that she took me in. Like, she didn't even have to do all that. Like, she loved me for me and like taught me so much about God and taught me about life and was willing to listen to me and she was a ride or die for me. She like, she was ready to fight people for me. Like, you know what I mean? Like on command, I'll tell her stuff that happened. Like what happened at my, biological mom's house with, like her daughter, like that tickle thing, how I felt. She was ready to call her up and scold, like scold Shanine out. And that Shanine is my biological mom's name. But I don't like calling her biological mom because she's not a mom to me at all. She's just Shanine. So she was supposed to fight Shanine like over the phone, bro. I was like, wait, hold on, mama. Yeah, yeah.
Slow your roll.
Or anything I told her that happened at school because I was bullied a lot in school too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was the only flying milk bowl out there and the people would just be making fun of you, bro. Like, yeah. It just is what it is. You know, I got some racist jokes, you know, things like that. Like, just being picked on all day. Mm. Like, my mom was really like ready to pull up at the school and fight. Like, you know, my mom was a ride or die for me. Like, she loved me. Yeah. And so when she died, like I didn't have anybody else that loved me.
Mm.
I was content with myself, but like, you know, it's like, well, dang, who do I got?
Mm. Yeah.
Should have been God, but was it though? Not gonna lie, it's gonna be a no for me. I didn't, I was like, God, who? In my like, mid-teens, because mm-hmm. she died when I was like 10 going on 11 in 2009 or something like that. Yeah. So, you know.
Oh yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, you know, and my dad worked a lot. And when she died, he was a hot mess. Like, obviously, that was his wife. He loved her dearly, and I don't doubt that at all.
Yeah.
And so my sister kind of checked out. You know, depression. Mm.
How old was she at the time?
God, we're 6 years apart. So she had to be like 16, 15.
Did she feel a little bit more because she was older, you think? Or did it affect both of you guys the same?
It certainly did not affect us the same. Like, I'm more so a realistic person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can think things through and figure out these are going to be my next steps. This is what it is. For me, this is going to sound like a really rude thing. But it was sad as heck. It was so sad for me. Like, I think I was in shock for like at least like the first 6 months. Like, dang, she really gone, bro.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But like for me, it's like also a relief.
Mm.
Like, dang, like we grew up taking care of her. So like, you have to remember I was in my single digits, you know, like I was taking care of her. We had to make sure like all her medicine was good. And, you know, we were going to the hospital after school and we would just stay there. We would just do whatever we needed to do. And she came home, like my sister and I were the only ones left to take care of her because my dad was working all the time.
Yeah.
He had to, like, hospital bills suck, bro. Oh, yeah. Like, insurances don't do anything. And it's like, why we even got them? Like, but anyway, that's a whole different story.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole different thing. Second podcast for sure.
Insurance scared.
Whoa. Just like that, we got Shadow Man.
No, for real. I was like, said JK. But yeah, no. So, yeah, I forget what I was saying.
I did want to ask you, you know, you process things a little bit different. And you said you were about 10 years old when your mom passed.
Yeah.
Right? Your sister was 16. How was your relationship with God at that time?
Oh, non-existent.
It was not.
I always knew there was a God because my mom like told me about God, but it's different about being told about God and doing Bible studies about God. But if you don't know him, it's not going to hit the same. It's like reading a book, like a history book.
Mm.
And like, that's it. It was like, oh, this is real. This is true. I know this is God, but like, you don't know how to have a relationship with him. So I was never really taught how to have a relationship. And it's something that you always have to find for yourself. Like, you can't expect somebody to create the relationship and then, like, you know, cash up you, like, the receipts. Like, a cash up you to the money, to the pot. You know what I mean? You've got to create that relationship on your own. And so I never did that because I don't know how to create relationships. I'm terrible. I even told him, like, my circle is, like, zero. Like, I have no friends. And I'm okay with that. I don't have, like, a circle. Like, I don't have anybody to talk to outside of God.
Not yet. We're going to pray for that circle. You know what I'm saying?
I'm okay without the circle. Like, that's not what I'm saying. Like,
no, we're going to pray for that circle. We are going to be praying for that circle. Put in the comment section. We're praying for that circle.
We're
praying for that tribe.
I'm okay without the circle.
We'll get like 1,000 comments.
Introvert, bro.
Oh, stop.
No, for real. Like, I don't know. I like being alone and I like doing my own thing. I personally am just waiting to be blessed with a husband though, like kingdom sent. I just need one person. For me, I just need at least one person. Okay, in my corner. You know, like, I don't need friends. As long as I got like a husband who is my best friend and sent by God, I'm good to go, you know?
So we're not going to give her number. Just for security purposes, but she's in the Dallas area. Okay, guys.
Wow,
you're gonna have a bunch of like resumes just flying in. So
not the resumes.
Hey, wow. I'm a godly man, right?
Not the resumes.
Anyways, let's continue.
Wow, bro.
They're gonna send you their Facebook. You're like, nope, next.
Not the swipe. Come on now.
I don't know. Wow. I've been married for like 10 years. I don't know how this works. You know what I mean?
Wow. So, hey, God bless that company.
Yeah, for sure. Hands down.
That's a beautiful covenant to be still.
Appreciate you. Yeah, we're still fighting the good fight.
That's good. I'm glad for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So, we're going to be praying for that tribe.
Hey, yeah.
You know what I mean? Or that one. You know what I mean? So, let's keep her in prayer. We talked about that, you know, you process things a little bit different at 10 years old. You don't really have a relationship with God, but you still said, okay, this is normal for my mom to pass. Was that like the mindset at that time?
We knew she was like the last, like she was terrible, like well off, like her health was just like
declining,
garbage. Like it was up and down for a bunch of different years. Just this last time, where that's just, she started hallucinating. Like she started like actively passing away. Like it was just us. So we had to call her dad. It's like, hey, yo, like mom is not good. Like this is different. Like she forgot who my sister was. Yeah. She was calling my sister her sister. She remembered me, which was kind of crazy. Like I kind of felt guilt, honestly, about that for a long time. Because when my mom needed me, I was always there for her. I was like, yeah, what you need, Ma? Like, I got you. Let me clip these toenails, cuz. Like, we got you. You know? Yeah. Whatever she needed, I was there. Even if I found it to be disgusting. Because I can't deal with bodily fluid. And she knew this. But I tried my best. And I tried to conceal my disgust because I loved her that much. So when she was eating, like, she couldn't, like, it was just, we're not going to talk about that.
Weak stomachs in the comments.
It was a lot. Yeah. So, but she remembered me and she called out to me, looked me dead in my eyes. And she called out to me. She's like, Deja, help me. I'm like, bro, I don't know how to help you. Like, I don't even know what you need, cuz. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, So it was a whole thing. I was like, dang, like the guilt settled in that very moment. The moment she looked me dead in my eyes, asked me who I was after forgetting where she was, how old she was, and after getting my sister. I was like, you couldn't forget me, bro? Like, asking me for help? When I physically didn't know what to do. So, that guilt was with me for a very long time, bro. Because like, that's something, like, I wanted to give my mom the world. Like, I wanted to, if she lived long enough, I would have gotten her, like, a car. Because I would have gotten her, like, clothes that she wanted, spa days, anything that she wanted. Like, I would have just spoiled my mom, like, because she deserved that. She deserved it. She was everything to me. So hearing her call out for me for help, and I'm like, girl, I don't even know what you need. Like, what do you mean? So that settled in my soul for a very long time. Not going to lie.
that's deep for sure.
It is. It sucked, very bro. Deep. Like, what do you mean deep? That was terrible.
I know. That was
how could that be your passing words to me? Like, dang, mama. But the cool thing about her, though, she was such a woman of God. She literally called out to God actively. So she never forgot God ever. She remembered me and she remembered God. And she was like, God, don't move that mountain. Just help me climb over it. She was like calling on God. She was like saying, Jesus, Jesus. Even as the paramedics came, she was calling on Jesus the whole time. That also stuck with me. I'm like, what kind of relationship y'all got? You know, if you're on your deathbed, you forgot everything in the world. You forgot who you was and what's going on to be calling out for God.
Yeah.
I'm like, interesting. Let me cachet that all the way. And I mean, all the way in the back of my head. Yeah. Let me just marinate on that later, you know? She was definitely a straight woman from God, like a blessing to the neighborhood, a blessing to her household. She was everything.
That's awesome. And at the time, you said your dad was just working.
Oh, yeah. He had to. He picked up overtime. He worked himself sick. He worked a lot. Like, mm-hmm. that man was a workhorse. Mm-hmm. So.
And then he was just trying to put food on the table, pay the bills.
Absolutely.
Just help you guys.
Four mm-hmm. mouths. Like, he didn't get paid that well. Like, mm-hmm. I think when he retired, he was at $10.50 working as a prison guard for the state prison. And he's been there for years. And that's all he was making, $10.50.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, on the one household, like.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I would have definitely been like, where's my raise at, bro? Like, yeah. I've been here for like
2 months?
A million years. Like, he literally was there for maybe like 20, 30 years. Like, wow. After he got out of the Navy.
Mm.
So, like, he deserved more money than that, especially with how hard he was working and all the overtime. He was reliable, showed up on time. Didn't call off. Like, y'all couldn't give this man a raise? Like, come on now. Government jobs, bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you guys have employees, got to make sure you treat them well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, mm-hmm. especially since on a single income, I mean, come on now. Like, if they're good, if they're hardworking, like, at least pay them for what they're worth.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
I agree with you. Pick up overtime because it wasn't getting paid enough. Yeah.
At that time, you were so little, right? But did you need more connection with them? How was the relationship between
really
you?
I didn't really know him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't really know him, and I pray he doesn't see this because I don't want him to think different.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is already in the past.
And
I kind of skirted over that with him.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a time that I actually hated him.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't for him working all the time. I knew he needed to do it. It was for separate occasions. And so I still don't know if certain things are true or not. But just because he offended my mama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't care who you are. The moment you offend my mom, you offend me.
Mm.
Period. Like,
yeah.
I'm a ride or die for her till this day. Like, if you insult my mama, it's over. Like, I'm going to have to pray to God to hold my tongue, my hands, and keep my peace. That's all I'm saying. Like, my mama, like, don't even say nothing about my mama.
Mm.
Ever. Like, ever. Okay? So, and I mean that. Like, even to this day, my dad's new wife be talking mad smack about my mama.
Mm.
And I'm like, you don't even know her. You never even met her. Like, what?
Yeah.
And he just lets her do it, which also makes me mad. But I'm like,
yeah. Lord help us.
And that's where we go.
Yeah.
In our prayer closet.
Yes.
With our Bibles.
Boom.
Turning off the world. Leave the little devices outside. And this is where you get in solidarity with God and ask him to realign your thoughts and take the hatred from your soul.
Oh.
Because hatred, irritants, which is also hate, can turn into sin. And yes. I will take it from 0 to 100. I used to be a very angry person. Actually, I was ready to fight on cue. Like,
boom.
You said what? Outside, bro. Like, I did not play because I was tired of being abused. I was tired of being make fun of. I was tired of, like, I just didn't get a break, you know, like, from school. I didn't get a break from home. I didn't get a break anywhere. So I'm like, it was just at that point, like, kind of like a breaking point. Like, don't like it. Then we can just go outside.
And how old were you? Like, a teenager at that point where you just, like, had enough? Or was it, like, a little older?
I would say it was middle school.
Like, you grew up fast.
Oh, I had to. Like, the maturity I had. I was the adult of the house. I was cooking. I was cleaning. I was doing my schoolwork. I was carrying the weight of the home. Like, I had unreliable people. Like, my dad was unreliable strictly because he worked all the time. So, not his fault. Then my sister was unreliable. She tried to take on that big sister role, but she was completely unreliable. Like, she wouldn't even blow up my mom and flip tables when she got mad and things like that, which also irritated me because she flipped the table my mom once. And I was getting ready to fight. Like, I was getting ready to fight. I was like, we're not playing that game with my mom. Like, at all. I just went over that with y'all. So I would say my mama because you're excluded. Okay. You excluded from the family the moment you started that BS. Okay.
Yeah.
You excluded. Okay. And it's not BS in the way that you're thinking, because I do not swear anymore. Okay. It's bull snot. Just saying.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
And did you ever have a conversation with your dad about him being gone all the time? Or
I mean, I
know it didn't really bother you as
much.
But did he?
He had to.
How was that like?
I let him know, like, I didn't hate him for it. I told him, like, I don't really know you, but I don't hate you for it.
So you understood that he had to work.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
to put food on the table.
Absolutely. He was trying his hardest. I mean, we were poor. We were poor, poor. I mean, there are days where we ate butter balls and stuff for just to eat. You know?
What would our butter balls?
Literally balls of butter wrapped in either Nestle Quick or sugar. And that's what we'd eat.
It was good.
It was good to us as a kid. It was sugary.
That's right.
But as an adult, I'm like, ew, I'm not doing that.
Do you ever have that just?
Oh, absolutely not.
No?
No. You mean to eat a ball of butter, bro, wrapped in some sugar? Like, no, yeah, I'm good, bro. Like, the struggle meal is real.
Yeah, okay.
Like that 99 cent ramen.
Boom.
That was us, you know what
I mean? Yeah.
On the days when we did get to go grocery shopping, we grocery shopped. Like, the fam went out, my sister and I went out, we got what we wanted, we balled up on the food. We said,
boom,
we need to stock up. We don't know when we're finna eat again, you know? Like, so, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. So, you said you had a conversation with your dad. How did he take it?
What I told him about, like...
Like, that you understood that he was always working, that you didn't hold any resentment towards him or anything like that.
The thing about my dad...
Yeah.
He's a man of few words. He's highly emotional. He's fragile as an eggshell. But he's also a man of a few words. So, he was just like, okay, thanks, Dej. I'm like, right on, Dad.
That's it?
He's a man of few words, but you can break his heart in an instant. He is fragile, more fragile than an eggshell. Like, so growing up, we all had to like teeter totter and like walk in eggshells around him, because he will crack. Like, he's threatened suicide so many times that I can't even count. Like, he would call from work, like, we're so broke, we're so poor, we're all in debt, this, that, and the third, I can't keep up. And he's less stressed. So he's like, I'm just going to like off myself and y'all can get the insurance money. I'm like,
I think that voids the insurance money, though.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't know that the time I was a kid, but like as an adult, I'm like, do a slot. Exactly.
You're like, did he remember the contract?
No, literally, like, did he remember the contract? Like, where?
It's not how it works, Dad.
Bro, like,
you can't kill yourself.
Like, what a waste of time. Like, no teacher shade, no hate, Dad. But like,
but let's talk about that a little bit, because there's a lot of men that struggle with that.
With a suicide or a financial?
Suicide and the financial as well, right? Because maybe they do have a family. Maybe there's stuff going on. Maybe they had a career change. Maybe they lost income. Maybe they do have a lot of debt and they feel like they can never get ahead. So I definitely feel, right, where your dad is coming from, for sure, is a big weight.
Especially when there's no money and you have a family to feed and a sick wife. Come on now.
Yeah.
The burden, like the pressure, I get it. But like, at the end of the day, killing yourself ain't the answer, cuz. Like,
that ain't the answer, though. Yeah.
I gotta be real honest. Maybe it's because I never was suicidal in my life. I can't relate like my sister was. My sister went through it. She went through so much depression and all her other stuff that she's doing right now. And she's more like my dad than I, to be honest with you, even though we're all not blood related. She ended up being like him. Very emotionally and mentally unstable, in my personal opinion. Like, just no stability, like no thought process, like just fragile as an eggshell.
Do you think that he was suicidal because some of his family was suicidal, or is there any suicide in the family at all?
My dad went through it when he was a kid. Like, he also grew up poor. Just so he probably was like, dang, like, I didn't amount to anything. So I can see his point, but still not worth killing yourself over, because like, you got a whole fan that loves you, bro. Like, come on now.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, like, his mom died early. His dad died too early. So it's just him and his sister fending for themselves. It was just a whole big thing. And he started working when he was younger, ate some sugar water bread. Like, it was real, like, for him.
Yeah.
So, like, he also went through it when he was a kid. So, can't knock it. He also got into drugs and alcohol. He has his own testimony out that he put on Facebook like years ago, shared his little testimony. It was actually my mom that brought him to God and saved him. So like, talk about that covenant. And then, you know, that type of thing. Though I don't recommend doing that. Like, I personally couldn't be in my mom's shoes being with somebody like that and be like, praying for your salvation while trying to have a relationship. Like, we got to be equally yoked, bro.
From the very beginning,
in my personal opinion, but it worked out for them. But, you know.
Oh, that's good. And at the time where you said your dad was suicidal, I'm not going to talk much about that. I just kind of want to get, like, a little insight on that. How was this relationship with God at that time?
So my dad's probably going to hate me if you ever see this, but I feel like he knows of God. He reads his Bible daily, but I don't think he has, and I could be wrong, but just on the outside looking in, I don't think he has a full relationship with God. He doesn't trust God. He hasn't, he doesn't have faith. And faith is more than just the word. Like, I even have a video up on my own YouTube where I talk about what faith really is. You feel free to cut that out. But, like, faith is more than just the word. It's, you gotta be, you gotta have trust in the God, in the Lord. You gotta believe in Him. You also gotta be, like, humble and have humility to even just even follow God, you know? So there's a, there's four parts to this. Like, there's four parts into faith, and people forget that, like, you have to have so many different parts to have that faith and have that walk with Him, or you're not going to be with Him at all. And my dad lacks a lot of those things. He's just, he's kind of like the Israelites, you know, just kind of going through the motions.
You know,
rituals and what Jesus came back to be like, hey, yo, like, have a relationship, y'all. God loves you, like, for real, for real. He's waiting to, like, know you, or, like, know each other. He's waiting for that, like, covenant relationship with y'all. And people forget you have to have a relationship with Him in order to even hear Him when He speaks, because He doesn't always yell. He speaks in so many different ways and so many different forms, and when you have that relationship with Him, you can hear Him when He speaks. And so I was called delusional for hearing God speak, and that was from somebody who claimed to be a follower of God. I'm like, so you never heard Him speak, bro? Like, God, it's written, like, He speaks. Like, God guides my life. He guides me to the word. Like, I pray over the word before I read it, and He tells me what the message is. He, like, you know what I mean? Like, God speaks to me daily. And if you don't hear God speaking to you daily, then you don't have a relationship with Him. And it's not delusional to hear Him, because God speaks. He's a living God. He's above all of us and beyond. Of course, He's breathing, talking. He has emotions. He feels. He's God.
That was powerful. That's so good. So good. And I want to talk about that a little bit, because I have seen that not only with people, but with myself as well, that you have a form of godliness, like, where you go to church, where you read the Bible, or you feel guilty, right? You are checking the box. You are going through the motion. You're reading the book just as any other book, right? But then there's the other side where you're not just reading the Bible for information or to know more. You're reading the Bible because you're expecting your Heavenly Father to talk to you. And that changes everything, because now you're not checking the box. You're not, you know, it's not performance based. Like, I tell people, my son, if he does something good or bad, doesn't matter. I'm still going to love him. Right. But he doesn't, you know, try to do 2, 3, 4 things on his checklist every day for me to love on him. I'm going to come home and I'm going to love on that little boy or my girls. Right. There's really nothing they can do. Right. But they think they can do something to earn more of my love, but they can't. And that's how God is with us. You know, if we repent from our sins, accept Him as Lord and Savior, there's really nothing we could do in a sense to, have Him look at us different, because He already paid for our sins. Now, I think we get into this mindset that God needs to bless us a certain way, right? Or if we don't see things aligned the way we want it to, then we start wrestling with God, right?
Oh, I bet.
And it has happened to me as well.
Same.
But one thing that I realized about the Bible is that the Bible calls us believers to deny ourselves. To pick up our cross.
Yeah.
And walk.
Oh, we're supposed to die daily.
We are not our own. But there's so much of our old nature still that we need to put to death that we oftentimes don't. Mm-hmm. And because of that, our nature, our sinful nature comes out continually. Oh, and we have to continue to submit that to God so he can live through us. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. You know, especially here in America, I see the American gospel very, very influential in our culture, meaning that God wants to bless you. He wants to make you successful. He wants you to be fulfilled. He wants you to, you know, thrive in everything you're doing. He wants you to have a blessed marriage, a blessed life. And by bless, you know, when preachers talk about that, it's more financial.
Right? Oh, absolutely.
And they mask it as like the blessing of God. But yet, you know, I look at the New Testament, it seems like 11 out of 12 disciples got murdered for their faith.
Oh, they did.
And like, they consider that blessed. So the way the Bible talks about being blessed is different than what some of the preachers are talking about.
Amen.
So I do feel that a lot of people are listening to the wrong pastors, the wrong preachers, and they're not going into the Word themselves and devoting themselves in prayer, in the Word, saying, God, speak to me. And I'm not going to listen to this pastor tell me what the Bible says. I'm going to read it for myself. And then when I do listen to a sermon, they're going to confirm exactly what Heavenly Father was talking to me about already. It's a confirmation. It shouldn't be a revelation. Woo! If you hear that, if you heard that, put that in your pipe and smoke it. In Jesus' name. Woo! There's a lot of truth there.
There's a lot of truth there. I mean, I'm going to have to agree with you like 1,000%. Like, prosperity gospel is not the gospel, to be real honest. Like, yes, if you walk with God, he will bless you as you go along and you will have exactly what you need. You might have more than what you need. But at the end of the day, it's about walking in truth and walking with God and making sure that you hear him and follow him and do what he needs you to do. Because what he needs you to do is going to lead you to something ultimately greater than what you could ever provide for yourself. Yeah. Like, I'm only in Dallas because God brought me here. He snatched my edges to get here, but we're here. We're here.
Yeah. Man, that's so good.
Yeah.
And I do want to talk a little bit about that before we change the topic. But it's just interesting to me how there's a lot of people that are in the same boat as your dad once was, where
he still is.
Okay. So they're reading the Bible and not letting God transform their heart. And if you're listening to this and you're in the same wagon, per se, right, in the same boat, then I recommend you shutting everything off and spending time with the Creator, getting on your knees and ask him for help. Ask for, you know, for revelation, because God wants to have an encounter with you.
Like, amen. Like, literally, God, like, literally, so he, hold on. Literally, what he wants is a relationship with you. Like, that's all he ever wanted, ever. Why do you think he created Adam and Eve in the beautiful garden? And why do you think he blessed them? They even, bro, like, they were in his presence. Like, they walked among God. Like, even in Genesis, it says God's voice walked to them. Like, he was with them. He never wanted to depart from us. Mm-hmm. It was us who wanted to depart from him so we could become him. We wanted to be like God, and so we ate the apple. And I'm like, bro, like, why do you want to be like him when you could just be with him? Like, you know, people don't even understand. I would give anything. I would give like my right arm. If you need me to cut it off, Lord, I would, just to spend even 5 minutes like with you, sitting physically in front of me, and just so I can ask you a couple of questions and pick your brain and get to know you like face to face. Like, I love God so much, like so much. Like, y'all don't even understand. Like, we don't even have enough time to discuss like all the things that God delivered me from, protected me from, saved me from. Mm-hmm. I should be dead. He healed my body. Oof. Like, literally, I should have died at least 3 different times. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, my health got so bad. Like, literally, I should have been gone. Like, it was God. Like, even when I didn't believe in him and I called out to him, he healed me. Even when I didn't really walk with him, he still showed up and healed me. Mm. And I think that's because he knew I was coming along later in life. Yeah. What's up, God? And we're here now. We hear God, we hear.
Yeah.
It was a fight, but we hear God. Yeah. And so there's so many things. I mean, God, there's not enough words.
And what I'm getting from you too is that you're not perfect.
Oh, absolutely not.
And your walk with God has not been perfect. Because there's some people that think, okay, you're in church, you're supposed to be perfect, right? Not sin anymore. Right. Or they'll say, hey, there's those church people that are hypocrites, which again, I don't blame them. Right. I
think it can look like that because some people who claim to follow God are the ones who say God hates you. He hates this. Hates. People who just like miss the purpose of spreading the truth. Like, we're not supposed to be like, God freaking hates you. Like, what do we like? Come on now. Like, of course I'd be like, well, screw that. Like, bye. Like, let me go over here and do my own thing. Like, if this is a representation of God, then I don't want to be a part of it. Like, you're literally actively leading people away from God when you're so judgmental and rude and crass. Like, you can't be like that. You gotta, come on now. Like, have some common sense. Like, no, like, not to be rude, but like,
have wisdom. Yeah.
Have wisdom and common sense.
I mean, Jesus broke bread with
sinners,
prostitutes, sinners, tax collectors.
The Pharisees even judged him for that. He's like, why are you eating with sinners? Like, because like he said, does the sick need a doctor or something like that? He said something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, they do. And so God showed up and sat down with them. I mean, as Christians, we can do the same things. We got to spread truth somehow. We can't treat them as animals, as less than human. We have to meet them as God would and tell them the truth, but also realize that God gave us free will, and God gave us free will enough that if you want to deny him, you can, but he told you what the consequences are, and if you don't accept those, you still deny him. That truth is still going to meet you eventually, or you can walk with him and see like how that's going to be like. And I do advise you walking with them because it's better than walking alone. Let me tell you that. Like, walking in this world by yourself, baby. I will never again. I'm going to be honest. That's why I hate when I see, hate's a strong word. It's more so like.
Dislike a lot.
Not even dislike. It's more so like, I don't get it. I don't get when I see people who say that they're ex-Christians. I'm like, then you were never a Christian, because now that I'm sitting fully with God, I can't foresee myself backing out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, when you fully know God, there's no going back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't fathom. It's not even hate. Like, I just can't fathom being an ex-Christian. Like, my opinion is like, you never knew him then. Like, there's no way.
Hold that thought. I want to go back to what you said, the consequence of someone rejecting God. What is the consequence? You're talking about eternal consequence? Is that what you're talking about?
There's so many consequences, because once you walk upon this world, I mean, free will can either bless you or it can be your destruction. Like, you know what I mean? It's what you do with your free will. And as humans, we use free will to either take away someone else's free will, and we do whatever we want to them against their will.
Yeah.
Or we become more like the world. And being like the world is nothing but sin. And so you're going to lose yourself in that world. And you're just going to die on earth, but you're also going to be spiritually dead. Because there will be a point, like God has his limits. There's going to come a time when God will be like, I do not know you. And so he might not even open his ears to hear your cries. Like that's written in the Bible. He'll close himself off to you, because he's like, you're not ever coming back. And he can see, God's omnipresent. He can see past, present, future. He can see all, everything. He knows all, which is how we get prophecies, because God knows everything. So that's why he can send you visions of things that's going to happen in the future, because he knows it already.
Absolutely. And the eternal consequence of somebody rejecting God is hell.
Spiritual death.
It's like hell. you know, eternal hell.
And everlasting.
For people say, oh, no, I don't see it that way, or I don't believe in that. Or I just want to live my life and don't want to be involved with religion. You just said it. People have a choice.
You do. It's you can use your free will however you want, but as a Christian, I do feel like I have to let you know what the truth is, and not to condemn you, because that's not my job. It's not my job to judge you or put you, like, you know, curse you or whatever, like people think that Christians do.
Yeah.
Like, it's just my job to tell you what the truth is, and you run with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I prefer to let them know who God is first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that God is so good. Like, and ask them questions. Like, go ahead.
No, I was going to say his character's being a loving father. Part of his character is, you know, extending grace,
mm-hmm.
giving you multiple chances, right, to mm-hmm. respond to him. But he's also a God of judgment, right?
Yeah, I mean, he will judge you at the final time. Like, mm-hmm. it just is what it is. And I'd rather, I physically, even just talking about it, like, I physically cannot imagine God looking me in my eye and telling me, I never knew you. Like, that breaks my heart, yeah, though. Like, yeah. I could not even imagine that. Like,
that's harsh.
I can't fathom that.
And for people that are listening that are hearing her speak, and you're like, and then you're probably wondering, man, like, she's like a woman of faith. Yes. But
It took some time. And God preparing my heart, honestly.
But also people that are watching probably had bad experiences with Christians, with pastors, with preachers. They've probably seen pastors collecting money and then buying like fancy cars, like we see. With a lot of these mega churches. I totally understand. Just keep in mind that there's a higher expectation for those people that do claim to be Christian and also being teachers of the Bible. They're going to have harsher punishment than those that were just rejected, you know, God. So
something
to keep in mind, that some of these people that are hypocrites, that they're known to, you know, live a double life continually without repenting, mm-hmm. they are going to get consequence.
Oh,
absolutely. Big consequence for that. So just want to let you guys know that's what the Bible says.
Yeah, if you lead people astray, you're going to be judged for their sins too. Facts.
Yeah. So that's so powerful. So when it comes to, like, you know, being a good Christian, you know, I had my fair of, you know, shortcomings. Through my time,
sure.
You know, I had a radical transformation at 19.
Nice.
Started walking with God, started preaching the word, started just doing a lot of ministry, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then fell a few times, you know.
That happens.
I sleep with some girls here and there. And then I got back up and I said, cool, let me continue to repent, continue to walk with God. And then again, fell into the same sin. I'm like, dang. Obviously, there's that the rest of like wanting to please God. But also, I'm like, man, like I was so sexually active from a very young age that it's like that's all I knew. And obviously, sin is very satisfying at the time.
Sin is so beautiful. That's the trick of the devil.
Yeah.
Because, baby, that is not beautiful what you're doing. You're creating a covenant with somebody that you're not even supposed to create a covenant with.
Man, like, you're preaching.
Like, literally, like, you... Yeah. This is why it's only meant for marriage. Like, you become one with somebody. And God meant that. And He meant something behind it. He knows something more than we do. So you're creating, like, oneness with somebody and then leaving them. And creating oneness with another person. Then leaving them. And you're just leaving them empty. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, you're leaving a part of you with these people. And you gotta... You know what I mean? You gotta pray to God to get that back.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, so like,
yeah, 100%.
That's like, you know what I mean? Like, there's something to it.
100%. And then for what happened with me is that I was wrestling. I'm trying to do the right thing, but then it's like still in church, trying to make it to church to try to snap out of it, but still enjoying and loving my sin. So it's almost like a wrestle between the flesh and spirit until I remember, connecting with my kind of my, like, my spiritual father, Adam.
Okay. Discipleship.
And yeah. I saw him, and every time I would see him at the gym, this guy, you know, 6'3", stocky, loud. You think I'm loud. That guy's louder. And then whenever he sees you or anybody that he knows they're Christians, he's like, "What's up, baby? Jesus." That's how he talks, you know.
I love that for him.
Yeah, yeah. Love him for it. And so I don't want to be around him because of that. Right?
Oh, wow.
So I was at the gym. I'm like, "Oh, there's Adam. I'm going to just go here." And we used to work on the same gym and obviously goes to the same church. But I tried to dodge him. And then one time I was like, I need to connect with him. I just need to talk to him. So I did. And I was like, "Hey, what's up, Adam?" And I was a little bit off, right? Because I'm talking to Adam. And then he's, "What's up, bro?" And he was like, he kind of noticed something a little off. And he's like, "Bro, you been to church?" And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, "You've been partying, huh?" I'm like, "Just a little bit."
Not God giving him insight.
And then with the big, like, smile, right? He's like, "You've been messing around with girls, huh?" And then I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Bro, do me a favor." "What was that?" "Stop coming to church. We already have enough hypocrites in the church. Come back when you're ready. Make a decision. Either you're in or you're out."
Amen. I agree with him.
And I was just confused. I'm like,
"Yeah,
pastor." Like, in my mind, right? I'm like, "Pastor, are you supposed to be praying for me and encouraging me and telling me, like, to come back?" And no, he's like, "Make a decision. You already know already. You know what to do already."
Wow.
And from that point on, I was, I got right with God again. And I made a covenant with God. I said, "Okay, moving forward, you know what my desires are, right? But that's my weakness. And because of that, if you don't give me the strength and the ability to reject and say no and leave that behind me, I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing. So help me, God."
Oh, see, that's the key right there. If you ask God for help, he will most definitely show up every single time.
You know?
Every single time.
And what was crazy is that after that, I didn't really know, like, how to date, right? Because me growing up, you know, you pick up on girls, sleep with girls. It's mm-hmm. like one or the other, partying, whatever. So I'm like, "Okay, how do I like pursue a girl?" I didn't really know. Obviously, I knew how to spit game, right? You know what I mean? But not how to pursue a healthy relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I spent some time talking to, like, different girls. I'm like, I don't really see them as a wife. So I'm like, "Yeah." And I started kind of assessing things a little bit different. And I was single, I think, for like almost like 3, going on 4 years.
Okay.
Just because I wanted to have clarity on, like, who I wanted to marry.
That's a different mindset.
And from that point on, every time I would start talking to someone, I would ask myself, "Is this a person I see myself with for a long time?" And I'm like, "No, dang. I don't see it." Like, yeah, they're good looking. They go to church here and there or every Sunday, but that's not my wife.
Mm.
And I'm like, "You know what? I know what I need to do." And it took a while, but then I started doing that. And because of that, when the right one came, right, I connected with her. I think it was October for her birthday after prospecting for 3 years. It took me 3 years to get a day with her. I think over 3 years. Finally locked it in. A month later, we're already official, boyfriend and girlfriend. When I first connected with her, I mean, I hung out with her for maybe like 8 hours. The second time we hung out, I told her I liked her. She told me she liked me back. The third time we hung out, I was like, "Since we like each other, right, are you wanting to pursue a relationship? And also, take it to the next step, which means getting engaged and then getting married." And then she's like, "Well, I never had a boyfriend before. I'm, you know, keeping myself from all that because I'm waiting for the right person." And then just like that, boom, 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 got married within like 9 months. So it was a lot of back-to-back action. But me having the clarity, I was able to, you know, assess whether this person was my wife or not.
I mean, 10 years strong.
Easy decision. Easy decision. Yeah. So, anyways, just want to share
a lot. Like, that's maybe God put it on your heart, bro. You know, maybe it just took some time for her to get prepared. You know, but yeah, but God put it on your heart or something. Because I'll say 10 for years me, because it
was, I was a mess. And if you guys have not checked out the first podcast, I talk about my story and my upbringing and everything. If you are, I would say, associated with some of the stuff that I'm doing in business, don't go back and watch that, because you'll be like, oh, what the heck? I'm doing business with this guy?
He's an honest man now. Stop.
Yeah.
Don't hold people to their past. Let them move on. All right. Come on now.
But just to land the plane here, so tell us a little bit more of, you know, what you got going on right now and how you overcame certain challenges, especially having a rough upbringing.
Mental compartmentalate. Wow. Hold on. What was it? Like, compartmentalization was my best friend. Mm. Okay. Some things that, like, just wiped out of my memory. I don't remember everything. So, like, hey. So I kind of like a fresh start. So it is what it is. Mm-hmm. I call it a blessing. Some people might say, like, you want to remember stuff like that, but I'm okay with living in the past and moving forward by eyes of God. I don't need to know all that. So I think for me, like, again, I had to grow up quick.
Mm-hmm.
Quick. I was always quick with it. I was always more mature beyond my age. I would hang out with the older crowd because that's where I felt more comfortable and more like them. So like having older, you know, people around me and kind of seeing how they navigated also helped me. My mother and her wisdom, like, there's stuff that she told me that was beyond my years that I still apply to this day. She's completely correct. So for me, like, getting over it, that was just pretty much it. Like, I can't even say it, compartmentalized. Golly. And also just kind of was like, suck it up. Let's move on. Like, let's move on to the next thing. It is what it is. Can't stay in the past. We got to keep going. I always had that mindset. Like, we got to keep going. We can't stay stagnant in it, or we're not ever going to get out of here. So, like,
so powerful.
I don't know.
So powerful.
That had to be God, even though I wasn't with him. Like, that had to be God.
I feel that right
I don't
there.
Know how I would have made it without him. Like, honestly, like, it had to have been him. Like,
so if you had a lot of failures, keep going.
Oh, absolutely.
If you have a lot of debt, keep going. What else? Keep going.
Literally, like, if debt, like, anything that goes wrong in your life, from, like, anything, if you are having, like, mental struggles, just know that the devil comes after your mind first.
Mm.
Once he has your emotions, he got you, baby.
Dang.
Because that means you can't think about anything else than the trouble that you're going through right now. That means you won't look to God because you're so focused on this, and that you can't see God moving for you, so you're going to curse God. And what? The devil wants you to do that.
So far.
Like, literally, the devil wants you to do that. And then you'll be, you won't even know God at that point. If you want to stay within your sin, you'll go to the worldly means. You might do, like, spiritual stuff with crystals, which is New Age witchcraft. You might start doing, like, demonic stuff to get over what you need, versus going to God, who is the creator of you, who can get you through these situations and provide you something brand new. And you'll be, come on now. It's even a song, like, dipped you in red blood, you came out white as snow. Like, ooh, brand new. Come on.
Dang. Man. And I had my embarrassing moments. Now that we're talking about it, when it comes down to, like, financial struggles, I remember one time being so broke, like, super broke,
that
my wife went to the grocery store, and I forgot, she bought groceries. Like, I think she spent, like, $50 or something like that.
Not bad for groceries.
Because we had to.
It's not bad, though.
$50. We're in a tight budget.
Yeah, that's nice.
And then she bought, like, two or three extra bananas. I went over, like, $50 or something. I'm like, wait, hold up. Why is it $52.20? Oh, because I bought, like, so-and-so bananas. I was like, really? Like, no, can you return them? It was embarrassing. Like, me saying that, I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah.
The fact that I was upset because she bought three extra bananas, like, I was pissed off, rightfully so, because we had a budget.
Money stressors is rough,
but
bro.
The same way, it's like, three extra bananas. Like, I mean,
come on, no.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing, right? But the same way, at the time, I remember listening to a sermon from Tony Evans.
Oh, he's my pastor. I love Dr. Tony Evans.
And he said, if you're ever stressing because of finances, go birdwatch. And I'm like, that's crazy. He's like, God feeds the birds. They don't stress. Why should you?
That's actually written in the Bible, too.
It is.
God provides food for everybody.
And I'm here like, what? Go bird watching. To this day, I go bird watching.
As you should.
We might, my daughter and I maybe like walking or going to the store, my whole family at this point. And I'm like, wait, hold up. You guys hear that? Little birds? What are they saying to us? Right? My wife is like, shut up. I do a little too much. But for me, it's a reminder that God always has my back.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I forget his name. It was either one of the Elijah, like it's either Elisha or Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
I forget who, but he was out in the wilderness starving and God fed him by ravens.
Mm-hmm.
I forget who it was though, but I mean, even God provided for him and he was in the wilderness, bro, on his own, starving, depressed, weak in the mind, weak in the knees, bro. He was going through it and God was like, take your rest.
Mm.
God understands we need some rest.
Yeah.
God will take care of you and meet you where you're at.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter what you look like or what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
If you think that you've sinned too much, you can't even go to God. That is a lie straight from hell.
Mm-hmm.
God will come. God will meet you anywhere you're at.
Mm.
You just got to let him know, like, hey, God, I'm going to need some help. Please come here and meet me where I'm at.
Yeah.
Please, Lord, have mercy on me, bro.
Like, 100%.
God will come through every single time. Mm. There's nothing. There's not a doubt in my mind at all. God will come through every single time.
Mm. So good. So good. So what I remind myself when I'm going through it almost every day at this point, it could be better, it could be way better, but it could be a lot worse.
Oh, amen.
And you talked about, you know, your mom passing that when you were 10 years old, right?
Like the only person that loved me like in my entire life.
Right.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. And then again, I'm not going to say like other people's experience are not as tragic as yours, but what I would say is
there's people way worse than I, like
people that are, you know, have experienced like different things. And, you know, the pain is real. The struggle is real.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But you talked about emotions deceive you. Right?
Oh, yes, they do.
You know, I hear people talk about depression and suicide and I get it because I've had those thoughts. But just because I had those thoughts doesn't mean I am that.
Amen.
I had thoughts of suicide, but I'm like, wait, hold up. Like, why is this thought coming my way? I'm like analyzing the thought. Have you guys ever analyzed the thought? Like,
I hope so.
What the heck? Hold up. Like, suicide. And I'm here like, this thought doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would I?
Right? Why is that the next step?
My future looks bright. And that's where, you know, you talked about hope. That's why I'm really hopeful in the Lord. Because he's going to get me through whatever. Doesn't matter. Just keep in mind that the American gospel, as I call it, really, it's way different than the natural gospel because, you know, Paul, right? Yeah. The pastor of pastors at the time, right? He was without food for a period of time. He was broke, but also he learned to live with a lot, but he went through different seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be going through a season that's probably more hard than last season, but God is doing something in you to prepare you.
Oh, absolutely.
Not only for you to get to the next season, but also to help somebody maybe that is going to go through something similar as you. So one thing that I always remind myself, things could be better, way better.
Yep.
I could be a multi-millionaire right now, right? But it could be a lot worse than I could be in the streets, right?
Yep. Hey, honestly, the more riches that you have, honestly, it seems like the more corrupt you become. Like you lose a part of yourself because it's hard work getting all that type of money. It's not just going to fall on your lap.
Yeah,
you're going to be consumed with work and then there's going to be no time for God. Mm. And you're going to start allowing certain things to be like, well, if we just do this just once, and you're going to be corrupt. Like I'd rather be where I'm at right now then lose God.
Yeah.
Like God is before everything.
Mm.
Like even for me, like whenever you bless me with my man, God, that's all I'm saying. Whenever you bless me, It's going to be a triangle for me. It's going to be me, him, our covenant, and then God above all that. You know what I mean? So for me, it's a triangle.
Yeah.
So like God is going to be above him. He's going to, like, God is going to be first above everyone and everything in my life. Mm. Doesn't matter how much I love you. I love God more. Like, I'm going to be real honest.
Yeah. You have
I call it the little triangle, if that makes sense.
Love that. Love that. So now I think we landed the plane like 30 minutes ago, but, for our viewers that are watching that maybe had, went through a lot growing up, right? Maybe they resonate with your story. Mm. What can you tell them? Is there a word of advice that you could give to them at the moment?
There is a such thing as over compartmentalization.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not an emotional person, like, till this day. Like, like, I'll start laughing when things get awkward, bro, because, like, that's just how I just cope with things. That's how I've always done it. So when things get, like, oh, somebody's crying, I'm in the corner, like, I don't know what to do for you, bro. Just awkward. Like, so, like, compartmentalization is good for you to compartmentalize and save it for later, mm-hmm. but make sure you take it back out and process, okay? I didn't do that. I was always like, we're just going to think about this later. If it comes across my mind, and I'll think about it, and I'll start become obsessive about it because I put it away for too long instead of just giving it to God. Like, when you literally, my advice to you, in general, don't walk through this world alone.
Mm.
Like, even if you don't have anybody in your corner, God is always going to be in your corner. Always go to God. Like, when I tell you God is going to be the relief of your life, he's going to bless you with peace in situations that you shouldn't even have peace. I can tell you that for a fact, because God gave me a lot of peace in situations I really shouldn't have. God will give you a solution. He will be your provider. He will make sure you have what you need, all your necessities. Things might look like crap, but like, God got you. You just gotta have full faith. And I do mean full faith, like all the four parts of faith to walk with him.
Wow.
You just gotta trust him. Seriously. Mm. Even if you can't see him moving, he is moving. And you just gotta trust and believe that he got your back. Because that faith can move mountains, bro. Like, faith can heal people. Faith can speak life into your world. Like, don't speak death into your world. Like, our words do have a lot of weight. Like, as soon as we start speaking it, we'll believe it. So, like, you need to, like, say, this sucks now, but I know God's got me. God did not let me down.
Wow.
I know that God's going to heal me. I know that God's going to come through for me. This might be my testimony. I might help somebody out later. Keep yourself thinking, like, what's next? What's next, Lord? Like, get in the Word. Stay in the Word. Make sure you hear him when he speaks, so that when you're ready to move, you can move.
Mm.
Like, God was literally everything. Like, he's more than what this world can provide for you.
Mm.
And I pray that you get to know him like I do, if not better.
Oof.
Seriously.
Wow. That's words of wisdom. And I love what you said, what's next? I love that. If you guys resonate with that, type in the chat, what's next?
Hello.
Probably have you coming back. That's what's next.
I'm down.
Hey. So with that being said, guys, if you got value from this podcast, be sure to share with somebody that could benefit from this podcast. Hit a like, share, subscribe, and all that. With that being said, thank you so much for joining us here today.
All right. God bless y'all.
Yeah. With that being said, keep fighting the good fight. Stay in prayer. Stay dangerous. We're out. That Rodriguez show. Yeah.